I've got a personal question for you. Do you mind? Yeah, no? Yes. No, oh good, you don't mind. Okay, good. I have a personal question for you because you're my friends. I feel like I can ask you anything, just like you can ask me anything. People always ask me, Martin, do you mind if I ask you a personal question? I said, we don't have time for any other kinds of questions. Of course I don't mind. I want you to ask me personal questions. I love to answer personal questions because that's all we have time for. I love to be transparent because I find when I'm transparent, I meet fellow transparency and we all want to be known. And I think that's the excitement we have about God. I'll speak for myself. The excitement I have about God is that he knows me and that he investigates. The Spirit of God is the breath of man is the lamp of the Lord. There's a great verse. Shoot, where is it? The breath of man or humanity is the lamp of the Lord, searching the innermost parts. So just Google that, find it. The lamp of the Lord, the lamp of the Lord. And you'll find that the breath of humanity is the lamp of the Lord, searching the innermost parts. This is fantastic because think of where does the breath go? The breath goes everywhere. How does the breath go everywhere? The breath goes everywhere via the blood. The blood takes the oxygen that we take in through breathing, our breathing apparatus, and it distributes it throughout the body. And what a network we have of blood vessels. We have arteries, veins, and capillaries. Capillaries, man, those suckers get the job done. They take the blood into all the little nooks and crannies. Not just nooks, no, but crannies. You know how difficult it is to reach a cranny? The capillaries say, we're going to overcome this. And so these little tiny things where the actual corpuscles, these capillaries are so narrow, so small, that the red blood cells, the corpuscles, they have to line up and go through single file. They're pushing their way through like, I want to get to that cranny. No, that's my cranny. And takes it. Those capillaries take the blood into the most intimate places, smallest places in your body. Thus is the Spirit of God. It investigates everything in your body just as the blood investigates your most recessed areas. Nothing can hide. Nothing can hide from the capillaries. Nothing hides from God. I'm not making up this analogy, this relationship between the breath of man infusing every part of his body via the blood and the Spirit of God, the light of the God that analyzes, processes, goes to, saturates, finds everything inside of you. And you're exposed to God. And I love this. That's why I say I ask you a personal question. And you, I know you're loving it. How many times in a day? This is the personal question I'm finally getting to. You thought I forgot about it. No, I didn't. There was a chance that I would have. I sometimes do. How many times a day do you condemn yourself? How many times a day do you kick yourself that you're no good? I just talked to a believer yesterday who really is kicking herself and I'm a terrible person type thing. And this is, we're talked into this, many of us, unfortunately. This is a terrible thing. It's epidemic. But we're talked into this early in life, probably by our parents. We're not given any self-assurance that we're good people as children because our parents have extremely powerful control of us that they can use for good or for ill. My parents used it for good. I was routinely complimented and told how smart and cute and funny and wonderful I am, which is why I'm so insufferable today. No, it's actually why I can do what I do and because I'm relatively comfortable. But if you have a bad start in life where your parents are constantly criticizing you, constantly telling you, just put on a happy face, stop being so miserable, delegitimizing your feelings, your emotions. They're not sitting next to you, putting their arm around you. Tell me about your problems. Oh my God. That's so harmful when that doesn't happen to you because then you learn to stuff your issues, stuff your problems, and it becomes a Vesuvius. It becomes a volcano waiting to erupt or a Mount St. Helens, I suppose. Could be. And the lava begins to push against your psyche, and it leaks out in various ways, either through anger or frustration, and you can't deal with it. And so you deal with it in unhealthy means. You eat too much, drink too much, overdo something. Well, this is why yesterday's message, it'd be nice for everybody to take a deep breath, starting with me, and understand that God has already dealt with these issues. And if your parents never accepted you or never gave you the respect to honor your emotions, your opinions, your feelings, and you had to stuff them, I want you to know that you now have a God. And what did God tell Adam? A man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Now, I'm now transferring that truth of Adam toward his wife toward you and God. You are to leave your father and mother. You are to sever those ties. If you're listening to me and you're 8 years old, do not take this advice. You cannot now leave your father and mother, but you can apply this. And I know there are 8 and 10 year olds listening to this show. Thank you. It's great to have you on board. There are 90 year old people, I know for a fact, listening to this show. Great to have you all on board. But listen, if you're 8 years old, you're still living with your parents, honor your mother and your father, okay? But look, if you are being somehow treated like a lesser being, like you don't matter, or if you're a teenager, I suppose this mostly happens. Look, honor your mother and your father as long as you're under their roof. No, wait a minute, honor them all the time, whether you've moved out or not. But listen, you can transfer your affections of your spirit toward God. And I want you to know this, that you can cling to God and you can grasp onto him and you can throw yourself at him with abandon. You don't have to dress yourself up as the Christians say. Well, of course, it's consistent with what they do every Sunday when they go to visit God, like they're going to visit a grandparent at a nursing home. It's Sunday, time to visit the deity, time to visit the old man, old crazy cantankerous man in the attic. We have to put on our nice clothes, at least put on a nice pair of shoes to go to church to worship God. No, this is false. You do not have to dress yourself up. Christ saves sinners, not people who dress themselves up and stop sinning long enough to believe in him. That's my message. Do you see? It's what I've been straining to tell you for 23 years. You don't have to dress yourself up. He accepts you as you are. Christians say that he accepts you as you are, but then they tell you what you have to do to become acceptable to him. What a bunch of hypocrites. What a bunch of whitewashed walls. So you throw yourself in him with all your flaws, all your character disturbances, all your foibles, and he will accept you. I mean, he already has accepted you, because while we are still sinners, Christ Jesus died for our sake. Romans 5:8, while we are still sinners. Along this line, I received a beautiful letter from a fellow believer, and I think you're going to dig this. I'm not going to mention this man's name, but listen, tell me if you've been here. This is a really amazing confession from this man. Greetings, dear friend. I was at the gym when I heard your talk from yesterday regarding God knowing the tears we have. Remember, I talked about that all tears are going to be eliminated and that God knows our tears. He saves our tears. Took me back, he says, to a number of years, to something that is still very precious in my heart. Martin, at the time, I was right in the middle of my own divorce. My wife had hit me with it out of nowhere, and I had discovered not only was she having numerous affairs, but had been working with an attorney for a year to basically try to destroy me. Now, this is a common story. I'm not giving anything that's going to uncover for you the identity of this precious fellow believer. Many people have undergone struggles like this when they've been unfairly treated, men and women both. This goes both ways. I'm not impugning one gender over another or under another. I discovered not only was she having numerous affairs, but had been working with an attorney for a year to basically try to destroy me. I was living in a small apartment, feeling betrayed and so angry, I mistrusted every woman I knew. And again, this goes both ways. I was basically being eaten up with anger. This is the problem many of you are having with your parents or with your friends. You're being so abused, either emotionally, spiritually, or actually physically, that you're being eaten up with anger. Back to the letter. Not sure what was the trigger, but I remember being in my kitchen and just exploding on God. For the first time in my total Christian life, I used language I had never before even thought of using. I called God every foul name I could think of, and demanded that he not only kill me, but send me to the furthest reaches of hell so that I didn't even have to be close to him. I wanted nothing to ever do with him again. I hated him. Expecting to get hit by lightning or a fireball, instead, I felt actual arms around me and a presence I had not felt in a long while. I felt him putting his arms around me, and I felt him actually crying along with me. Martin, I felt a love so strong that I physically fell on the floor and began weeping with an entirely different attitude. Right in the middle of my worst pain, I felt that he was in my presence and he cared deeply for me. It turned my heart around as I again experienced a love that was unfamiliar with the one I had learned in my years of church attendance and marriage. The incident didn't heal me instantly, but it did begin to light the pilot light of life again for me. I got up and began walking in a new attitude, again seeing that in my darkest times, he was still with me, watching over me and actually grieving with me. It was not long after these types of situations that he began leading me into a journey of discovery of just who he was. And he began confirming it with scriptures I had never been given in the church. The walk got me looking for answers as to who he really was. And that's when I discovered men like you. I found myself putting everything I was hearing through the filter of 1 Corinthians 13. If it didn't jive with love, then I dropped it. Guess who is still at the top for me? It is the reason I watch your show and read your writing, even though there are times I listen to you and go, huh? I've always felt love coming from your sharing. I guess this is an encouragement for you also, Martin. There are those of us out here who need simplicity covered in love. We're not impressed with the arrogance of higher understanding. I know you well enough to have you closer than my brothers and my sister. You are familiar with me. You are family to me. And same with me toward this brother and towards all of you there. I'm familiar with you. We have a familial relationship. Family, familiar, familial. All those words are related. There's an intimacy. There's a knowledge. There's an openness, a transparency that feels so good to have people who know you. You are my family, and in my prayers and in my heart as I see you in your own struggles, the brother writes to me, can't wait until the next eon. I hope Father sticks us together for a while anyway. Yes, God is sticking us all together. I appreciate this brother recognizing the fact that, I mean, it got personal at the end. He's talking about me specifically. And I don't want to overemphasize this. I just want to mention this before I talk about God, the God part of this more extensively. But I appreciate the fact that this brother recognizes that through me comes the love of God. And even though I can be cantankerous, a believer just said that to me two nights ago. This guy said to me, Martin, you've become cantankerous in your old age. I first objected to the fact that he thought I was old. And then I said cantankerous. I had to agree. I'm rough around the edges, but you know what? That's part of my walk. That's who God made me. That's what I am. That's what I'm going through today. I maybe express my frustrations by being cantankerous. I don't know, but I amuse myself by that, and I amuse some of you with it also, and I don't mean to be hurtful. I mean to state facts, and I mean to be honest. I think just the filters are going away, but I'm really happy this brother recognizes that the motivating factor is love, and love is tough, and I'm tough on myself. I'm out here running. I'm lifting weights, being tough on myself. That's tough love. If you love yourself, you're tough on yourself. You get up in the morning, get going when you don't want to. You kick your own butt. That's being tough. And so we do this for each other. We love each other. But the greater point in this letter is this amazing testimony to me. I love this brother being honest with all of us. He didn't intend for me to read this letter, but it was so moving to me that I wanted to read it to you, that in your worst moments, when you're as honest as you can be with God, so honest that you call him every name in the book. Folks, if I told you things I have said to God, it would shake your faith. That's why I don't tell you. But I will tell you that I have had words with the deity, and I have gone to him in my agony. But this is my saying: if you can't tell your creator what's happening to you, who can you tell? If you can't be honest with the person who made you, who knit you together in the womb, who can you be honest with? You don't have to clean yourself up. And here's this fellow believer, our brother in Christ, who's so honest with God that he let God have it. He wanted to be away from God, couldn't stand him anymore, wanted to be in the farthest reaches of hell if it meant being away from this God who was doing such hard things to him, which he was actually doing for him, but he didn't realize that at the time. And the result, when he expected to get struck by lightning and to have a fireball just destroy him, wipe him off the face of the earth, he felt the arms of God embracing him as a father saying, I understand, I know, I know, I know. Wow. That is an amazing revelation. That we have a God who so understands us, so intimately knows us, searches our innermost being as the blood searches the literal human body, that we can tell him anything. Anything. Even our deepest frustrations with him. And he not only doesn't destroy us, but this is the essence of grace. Where sin increases, grace super exceeds. Even if you want to call this name calling of the deity a sin, which I don't necessarily think it is, maybe it is, it's a sin and it's not true. If you call God a so-and-so, F and F and this and that, it's absolutely not true. So it is a sin in that you've missed the mark in characterizing the deity. Nevertheless, where sin increases, grace super exceeds. And here is evidence of it in this man's life. I've experienced the same thing. God, why have you made me this way? And you curse him. And instead of the lightning bolt, which you would expect under the old covenant, under the law of Moses, you instead receive the warmth of an acceptance that touches you so deeply that it feels like literal arms encompassing you, stroking your hair, stroking your head, comforting you, telling you, it's all right. I understand. I made you this way. Thank you. At least you're venting your complaint to me. At least you recognize, well, at least maybe it's the most. It's fantastic. You recognize me, God says, as the source. This is what Job did. Job cursed the day he was born, but he did not sin. Because he went to God with his complaint. Never once did Job talk to Satan, who was the intermediary used by God to bring these things to Job. And who knows, God might have used Satan, the adversary, to bring these trials to my friend and to our fellow member of the body of Christ. And this caused my friend to cry out in pain and to curse God. And yet, Job's wife said, curse God and die. But my friend cursed God and he lived. He lived. And he became so aware that God's love was truly unconditional. I've experienced this. You've experienced this. It's just nice that somebody has the honesty to write about it, to share it with me, so that I can share it with you. Let this be a comfort to you today and every day.